Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. So many things are being fulfilled so quickly right now. So many things are being fulfilled so quickly now that it's hard to keep up with all of them. Mm-hmm. But one specific thing that we're going to be letting you hear an interview in regards to the Malachi prophecy. And the Malachi prophecy is sometime back, and you'll be hearing more details about it. But we're just going to let you hear a piece of the interview over the next 10 days. We hope for you to be able to hear that. So join us in the extra hour, which will be right after this first hour live, and, of course, on the loop afterwards. And you got to hear everything's going to build upon itself. But one specific thing that was stated is that we are in those days where the Malachi prophecy was given that literally had the number of popes that would be in office. Mm-hmm. And after this last pope, this pope would resign suddenly, which Pope Benedict did over the Catholic Church. And the next one that took his place, I mean, you got to hear that, because it says the city of seven hills, which is Rome, would be destroyed during his reign. And as well as what's there. And you got to be here. We're going to have that for you in the extra hour today. And stay tuned, because we have 10 different segments we're going to play for you of this interview, because it's over a period of time. And we're going to make them available to you as they broadcast on the VFN Torch. So you don't want to miss it. And you can go to the VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. You're going to be shocked. And remember this. This is very important. When God does what he does, the only thing the devil, who is the father of lies, can say is, nuh-uh, not true. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, people who are robbing you blind, for example, are just, you know, stealing from you. They're not going to tell you, hey, I'm stealing from you. They're going to look at you and say, when you say, hey, you're robbing me, they're not going to say, oh, you're right, I've robbed you. They're going to say, no, I'm not robbing you. Mm-hmm. And when Noah was building the ark, you think about it, God saw that things were bad, right? Mm-hmm. On people's minds, 24 hours a day was evil. By the way, it matters what's on your mind. It'll determine how long this thing's going to go.
That's right.
And so he told Noah to be able to build an ark, remember? To build an ark and to preach for 125 years. We don't even live that long, and people are like, I've been serving God, and it's been a month, bro. It's been a month. You know, it's been 5 years. What's up with you? 120 years, right? He preached, and with no response.
Right. A long time.
He did not change his message. So many people, you know, think because people are not saying yes to God that they need to change what they're saying so somebody will say yes to them. Mm. And so instead of changing your audience, people change their message. And you don't need to do that. You need to realize God just wants people to hear, and he honors their decision. You have to start honoring people's decision, and your heart will be broken because of it, because there's people that say no.
Right.
They say no, like the rich young ruler who walked away sad because he had a lot of stuff and didn't want to give it up for God because God called it on him. Well, you know, you had Noah building the ark. You had evil on people's minds 124 hours a day, 7 days a week. He preached for 120 days. He had basically just his family helping him out in the ministry, you know, his sons and their wives and his wife. That was it. And they stood and did what God said. It had never rained before that. So it was about to rain. So they're talking about something they'd never seen before. And this boat was going to float in the context of that. And with that, the angels of God, remember, came and slept with the daughters of men.
Yeah.
And they created out of that, they birthed some odd child, which were giants, you know, so many fingers on them and all that kind of stuff, called the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. And this is stuff that happened by then.
Yeah.
And a lot of people tell you what it's going to be like. You know, a man has his opinion. They have their books and everything. But let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, it'll be just like the days of Noah. Mm. It'll be just like the days of Noah. So you can go back and study Noah and what was going on and get over trying to get everybody to buy into your message and just deliver God's message. Because if you deliver his message right, you'll find out you may be able to save a few that come into the ark.
Mm-hmm.
I love the people who minister and love the Muslims who just take their time over 10 years to win one man or woman to the Lord. You know, and God, you know, they're patient. But Americans are like, you know, I've preached already at least 3 weeks on this and nobody's responding. And they start changing their message. If you can change God's word.
That's right.
And he says, Jesus said it's going to be the same as the days of Noah. So you can study. He said that they'll be marrying and giving in marriage and working and all these different things. You'll go to work one day and one day you'll be gone if you're a believer. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and the other person will be left. One day, I mean, there's going to be a plane with no pilot in it, possibly, if it's a safe pilot. There's going to be a car with no driver in it. And the suddenlies are going to happen. But the family member who said, I'm going to do things my own way, they might be in the back seat. You know, it's like nothing you could do about it. Because suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, our Lord is going to call his church to himself at the last trumpet. And so you got to listen. You're going to be really, blessed by what you're hearing here. You know, as Tom Horn is being interviewed and Chris Putnam is being interviewed by It's Supernatural.
Wow. Yeah. That's Sid Roth?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just, when I got a chance to see Sid in, we were in
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. I love his enthusiasm and excitement for God. I just like, come here, I want to hug you and hold you for a minute. You know, he's like, it's supernatural. You know, it's a sign. And you made the two one and all these awesome things he gets excited about. He's excited about everything about God.
Yeah.
And it's just contagious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just really, really contagious. And so it's going to be Sid Roth interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, who just wrote a book. They had one book they wrote previously, prior to 2012, that said very specifically, and it's done not, they don't call themselves prophets. They just studied everything. They hired investigators and just got evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Malachi prophecies that the Pope, Pope Benedict, would resign in March or April of 2012.
Wow.
But, and everybody out here looks like, well, or they said, or the next year, he resigned, of course, suddenly, March of 2013, in April, March. And but what they found out was, officially, he resigned a year prior to that, exactly when they said. But they did a whole year of setting this transition up and getting the, what do they call the group that comes together to pick?
Conclave?
Yeah, the conclave.
The Cardinals.
Which is supposed to happen at the point of somebody's death, so you don't have time to plan it. Somebody just died. They had a whole year planning this transition.
Mm-hmm.
And and the Malachi prophecy that you're going to hear is that this particular pope, the pope that we choose, you know, has to be has to be Italian, and his parents are Italian. Yeah, you know, Pope Francis, right? Pope Francis.
He's Argentinian, so I guess his
parents. No, his parents are. But he,
his parents are.
Yeah,
ah.
So he actually is Italian.
Oh, wow.
And anyway... So you're going to hear some things that's going to really, and remember the days of Noah, so you don't, your mind doesn't lock up. Go back and just kind of read over that, and look how God responded to it. And God said, "Build an ark." Well, what's an ark? An ark is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They carried the ark. The ark is God's presence. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? You are the ark of God. You're the one walking around with God inside. Know ye not that God's with you? The power of God's with the glory of God. The hope of glory is Christ in you. We are that ark today, and we're inviting people to invite God into their life. And we are like Noah, preaching a righteous message and inviting them to the grace and the forgiveness. Because if you just get in, if you just get on the boat, if you just say yes to Jesus and no to the world, then you're in. You're in, because at that point, of course, the world was destroyed by water, but the destruction that's coming after that, after this, it's going to be, you know, everything is going to be destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth is going to come. So you don't want to miss it. We're going to be talking about it, and you have an interview with Sid Roth, and the books, we'll talk about them and make them available as well. But they actually predicted it down to the T, and this prophecy was given like in 1500 or something, maybe 1200, something like that. And it's called Malachi because the prophet was Malachi. To us, it's pretty significant because 10 years, I was delivering a word called the Malachi Mandate, and that we were delivering, preparing the way of the Lord, and we were working nonstop with Malachi 4, 5, and 6, the turning of the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with the curse. Well, what's happening now, it's like the convergence of that Malachi prophecy is coming with all these other things happening at the very same time, And now they're saying this particular pope that's in office now will be the one that turns the church towards the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
There's a billion Catholics, right?
Wow.
Turns them towards the Antichrist. So the first thing that he does is, and I pray this doesn't happen, my prayer is, but you know, it is what it is.
All right.
And but he said he begins to go and pray with Muslims. The very first thing is like, that's the Muslims say Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. That's anti-Jesus, right?
Right.
Or anti-Christ.
Christ,
yeah. You don't sit there and say, let's you know, the first thing you do over the church, which is Jesus, the followers of Jesus, is to pray with somebody who denies Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's become this a social justice movement and this whole thing. And you're going to be really surprised what you hear. And that's why we're letting them tell you in their interview. And you're going to be able to hear that in the extra hour. In the extra hour. But there's people right now laying doctrine and everything for someone to appear that's going to bring us to a better salvation, that's going to explain things better and to more thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're preparing to receive him when he comes, and you're going to be shocked.
Right.
And we're looking at, you know, the whole thing lasts 7 years. So you're looking at and the whole projection is 7 years, but it's cut in half, but 3.5 years. And so we're like on the edge of this thing.
Mm.
And we're hoping that it wouldn't necessarily be our generation because we're tired. And, you know, but you know what? You know, let history be said of us that, and understand that if you understand our history, and you can go to, you know, greglancaster.org and see some of the things that we've been walking through in God. But for 10 years, we prophesied in the spirit of Elijah, which is the preparation for the Lord's return. We've delivered that nonstop, day in and day out.
Right.
And he says in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that their hearts may turn or may not turn. It's an optional thing. And if they do turn, then everything's cool. If they don't turn, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. And we've been seeing since that end of that prophecy was, it started with the earthquakes in Haiti, and then the whole world is shaking. The whole world is shaking. I stood before five elected leaders now, and prophesied to them this word. And I had, I don't know, 50, 70 people, leaders at another meeting while I was doing it. But I did it during the time when God told me to do it, and they were gathering. And four of them rejected the word, did they not?
They sure did.
They rejected the word. They openly rejected it. And one of them said, this is good. And all four of them were removed by the governor, like in 90 days, 6 months, something like that.
That's quick.
One of them, maybe two of them, one of them went to jail. One of them ended up mysteriously dying up under a house and mysteriously drank antifreeze.
Right.
And it was just tragic. And then, again, you know, God, during that time, God had me speak about we had hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. And you remember those days. And then I was invited again to come and speak, and I spoke. And the Lord had me to pray that there would be no hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico at all, no storms at all. That entire, you know, that's a bit, for five hurricanes, I'm like, Lord,
give us a break.
I'm fixing to be deeply humiliated here. And so I prophesied that, you know, and asked God that, and not one storm. So that was another sign that came.
Mm-hmm.
And then God, they called me back, and God just stirred my heart. Remember the beginning of that year, it's like, you got to prepare. It's like being on an airplane, because the you got to be able to put the oxygen mask on yourself first instead of the person that's sitting next to you, so you can help them. If not, you're not going to be able to help them. That was the beginning of that word, because a storm was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I came and I told them about the storm. I said, this is coming, and the clerk of the court, her name is Linda, and she's a witness to this, that I delivered that word to the new commissioners, obviously. And in that, they didn't get it, and I wasn't fully getting it either, but I was delivering the word, because we're thinking about hurricanes and these different things. And I said, a storm is coming, and it's coming in the fall. And this is like around April or so, in the early part of the year. And but it didn't land, you know, but they were very conversational, and it's different ones than they have now. And so, but they talked more in the natural sense, a storm or whatever. Well, then I was called back around August, and I delivered the word just intently this time and more focused. And I always wish I could deliver it better. And we're doing it now on VFN Radio.
That's right.
And this time it was like talking to a wall. It was like talking to a wall. And this really nice man who's the county administrator at that time, when I sat down in the front row, before I delivered the word, I sat down in the front row in this big governmental meeting thing. And he said, he stood up and leaned over like a high court bench. That's how they were sitting on. And he looked right at me. And he said, "You didn't have a dream, did you?"
Mm-hmm.
"You didn't have a dream, did you?" Because God speaks to me in visions and dreams. And then I got up and shared that word. I shared that word, and they didn't even receive it. And normally I'll kind of like ease my way out, you know, very politely after I pray or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this time I was just so depressed. I was just like, it's like, you know, we're going to get, the storm's going to hit us.
Wow.
And I just walked out and left. My wife, Donna, and I were there, and we just walked out. And the county administrator left the meeting that was going on, who actually is the one who runs everything, by the way. And he follows me all the way out to the front of this courthouse by the water fountain and asked me, "Is everything okay? Is everything all right?" I mean, he knew that I heard from the Lord. He knew that something was wrong, and I knew they weren't going to listen. And right after that, in the fall of that year, Alan Greenspan says, "A perfect financial storm has hit America," mm-hmm. and it's began ever since. And so what I'm telling you about, and what we're talking to you about, is you need to listen. God speaks. He does nothing unless he speaks it through a prophet first and begins to tell you and prepare you for what's going to come. If we hear and obey, then things can change, and God will protect our way. Well, I was talking about in the beginning, at the end of the first hour, and in the beginning, I think, of the extra hour, about the Malachi prophecies, a Sid Roth interview with a very, very important author who had written a book originally. It's called Petrus Ramonus, you know. But in that, he actually specifically said that Pope Benedict would resign of March, April of 2012,
mm-hmm.
or possibly the next year. And of course, he does. The 2013 is when it happens, which is huge. It hadn't happened in 400 years, by the way.
Tom Horn.
Yeah, Tom Horn. And in the context of that, he also, they found out that 1 year prior to the 2013, when he actually did resign.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to play some different sessions. You're going to hear this interview over a period of time that you're just going to be encouraged because our Lord is soon to return, but you're also going to be awakened. And we want to wake up. We don't want to be the ones on the outside of the ark scratching on it, trying to get in because we waited till the storm came. We want to be walking with God and hearing what he says today. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to hear this interview, Sid Roth. And
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word, means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. Where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile is finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Chris Putnam, is co-author of the best-selling book, Petrus Romanus, The Final Pope Is Here. But I've been going through this new book that is ready to come out that we have available right now. It's not in the bookstores yet, called Exo Vaticana. This intrigues me no end, but there's a little bit of background that I want you to bring out. Experts in Bible prophecy over 100 years ago saw what would be going on today in our culture, which is setting the stage for the book that you've just written. What did they see?
Well, Sid, you know, what I was referring to is George Hawkins Pember, who was a theologian in England around the turn of the century. He wrote a book called Earth's Earliest Ages and Their Connection with Modern Spiritualism and Theosophy. And, you know, what he was looking at was Jesus made this reference to, as in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, he pulled out, you know, just the 7 points where he saw parallels between the antediluvian, meaning the pre-flood civilization, and, you know, the culture that he was living in, you know, at the turn of the century, turn of the 20th century. Now, you know, and the emphasis, you know, if you look at Jesus's teaching in that passage, is, you know, he's really saying that people are just oblivious, that the majority of the population is just not paying attention to the signs. And you know, Noah, it says in the book of Hebrews that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You know, the people ignored Noah, and I can imagine that they ridiculed him for building an ark.
Yeah, you know, when I think about that, of it would be like the days of Noah in the last days, I think about morality just sinking to no zero level. That's what most people think about, but there's a lot more to it, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the 7 parallels that Pember commented on were an overemphasis of God's mercy at the expense of holiness.
Boy, that sounds like the popular grace message today, but go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a whole movement of pluralism, you know, believing that all religions lead to God, you know, that all religions are somehow correct. You know, at the expense of his holiness, you know, people don't want to hear a convicting message about sin. People don't want to believe in a literal place called hell.
You know, it's gone to extremes. There was a time when holiness was preached, and today they say, well, so many people are turned off that we want to just do the positives rather than the negatives, and a generation is being raised without understanding, without holiness, you will not see God.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the gospel is unintelligible without a coming to the end of yourself, you know, without an admission that you're fallen and sinful. You know, without that, it's not really even coherent to have a savior. You know, you have to be saved from something for that to be, you know, an intelligible concept.
What were the other points that he raised?
Well, the second one was a disregard for gender roles and contempt for marriage. Now, you know, he was commenting on this, you know, at the dawn of the 20th century. I don't think he would ever even imagined, you know, the fact that we're starting to legislate homosexual unions and people are calling that marriage.
Listen, in my lifetime, I can't imagine the change that has occurred so quickly. Morality is, there is none today, and it's getting worse.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the whole idea of relativism has so infiltrated the culture.
Now, what does that mean, relativism?
Well, it's this idea that morality is really just dependent on your opinion or your own feelings. You hear the sort of nonsense like, well, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. You know, people have just, that's just completely incoherent to think that way, because, you know, there is an absolute truth, which is what matches reality. It's not an opinion. And, you know, I think that, you know, people have abandoned this in this sphere of morality, but, I mean, there really are things that are good and evil.
Yeah, you know, it goes back to Pontius Pilate's question to Jesus, what is truth? Either there's absolutes or there aren't. If there's not absolutes, believe anything you want. What were some of the other points?
Well, interestingly, his third point was how technology and entertainment entice man away from worshiping God. Again, you know, writing at the dawn of the 20th century, how much more so today when we have the internet and just such a proliferation of mass media that it's hard to even keep track of it all.
I mean, I go into restaurants and I don't see people talking to each other anymore. They've got their cell phones out or their iPads, and they don't even need someone at the table.
Right. And, you know, the thing that we have done that is really dangerous is that we've embraced progress. We've made an idol of progress. And we've defined progress as increased efficiency and convenience. Now, you know, those are the idols of America. And we don't really consider, when we adopt a new technology, you don't just get the culture that you have plus the new technology. The new technology radically changes the culture, and it, you know, it destroys what was there before. I mean, in a very real way. I mean, things like texting and that we're doing now are deconstructing the English language. And, you know, it's really nothing we can do about it. Once this sort of thing is in motion, it's pretty much a done deal.
Oh, what other things did he predict?
Well, 5 was a vast population increase. And, you know, that is way beyond the sphere of anything that he was imagining. You know, and that is it's an issue for missions and world evangelism as well, because, you know, you have such a population increase in some of these third world areas that it's hard to keep up, especially with the unreached people groups. So the 6th is the rejection of the prophetic warnings and preaching. And that's the most pertinent, really, to our discussion, is that, you know, there's so many signs. People that are, you know, that are familiar with Bible prophecy see what's going on in Israel. I mean, things like the Arab Spring. You know, there's so many signs that, you know, it's almost overwhelming. I mean, the general, you know, feeling in the prophetic community is that things are right on the edge. Now, the 7th idea that Pepper put forth was, I'll quote, "the appearance upon earth of beings from the principality of the air and their unlawful intercourse with the human race," end quote. Now, when he's talking about the principality of the air, that's a reference to Ephesians chapter 2, where the devil is referred to as the prince of the principality of the air. Now, what's really interesting about that is that the New Testament worldview, the realm of the demons is really the atmosphere between the earth and actually the moon, is the way they really thought of it. So when we're dealing with the subject of unidentified aerial phenomenon and UFOs and these sorts of experiences that people are having, it's not really a stretch to posit these as demonic manifestations, because the realm of demons in the New Testament worldview is the sky.
You know what you're saying reminds me of? The wheat and the tares, the parable. And Jesus said, let the tares grow up. So what I'm hearing you say is that when we read the story about the ancient Nephilim, where the sons of God cohabited with the human women, that's coming back. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that there's a lot of really compelling evidence that points to something like that going on. I mean, in the study of UFOs, there's several big-name scholars who have studied the abduction phenomenon and determined that it's real. Now, one is Dr. John Mack, who was a Harvard psychiatrist who wrote 2, you know, very large volumes on the abduction phenomenon. Now, Dr. Mack risked his career in academia to write this book on abduction and come out and say that he believed that it, absolutely something real was going on, and that it, you know, it wasn't, you know, a mental illness or insanity, that something was happening to these people. He really inferred strongly that it was largely a spiritual type of phenomenon.
All right. If the abductions are predominantly spiritual, are you talking about God or are you talking about the devil?
Well, you know, what we see in the abduction phenomenon is characteristically evil.
You will not understand end times without these 2 books that document secret files in the Vatican Library and belief in aliens. Petrus Romanus, The Last Pope, hidden in the Vatican Libraries over 900 years ago, a vision of the next 112 popes, stunning accuracy of the first 111. Now, this last pope will take office for the final judgment. The second book, Exo Vaticana, documents the Vatican's plan for arrival of an alien god with a small g, secret files in the Vatican Library on the reality of alien presence, Vatican's position on extraterrestrials, Vatican's Project Lucifer, why 2013 is the year top astronomers say the aliens will be revealed, the breeding and hybridization program for humans and aliens. Both books available for a donation of $35. The second book is only available through our ministry. I'm interrupting this telecast with a special announcement. We have a new pope, St. Francis. According to the Malachi prophecy, he had to be a Roman. Did you know that this new pope's parents were from Italy, Roman? Not only that, he's the first Jesuit to ever be pope. And as you've just heard, the Jesuits are involved with the aliens. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.
It's amazing what is happening here. And this is one of nine parts of different interviews that we're going to bring to you and begin to show you this particular 900 years ago, this Malachi prophecy was given 900 years ago. And we're going to make, not only are these available, these books available at Sid Roth, ministry, as he just said, but also they're available. You can go to the Torch, go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. And both books, Petros Romanos and Exo Vaticana, is going to be available for you that they wrote. And these are not, they don't call themselves prophets. We hired investigators. We went and talked to them, and this is what they said, including, and I'll talk to you when we get back, about the Jesuits, which I was with when I was in Sacramento, and have a little insight on that. You listen to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
There are seasons that most of us experience in marriage. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and Patricia Ashley vividly describes a difficult time in her marital relationship.
When I say it was dead, I mean that I didn't love my husband. I didn't hate him. I wasn't glad to see him come. I wasn't glad to see him go. It didn't make a difference what time he came in or if he came in at all. Yeah, do y'all, that's dead, huh? No feeling.
Well, Patricia went on to share how God brought a spark of life to her marriage as she and her husband prayed, and he gave them hope to begin working on their relationship. And now they're celebrating 43 years of marriage. You can hear all of Patricia's inspirational message today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
When I know that you listen to VFN Radio
every day. Like clockwork. If I do miss the morning, guy, I love to see, I hear you guys bright and crisp in the morning, man. It's a fresh revelation, man, to hear you guys and to hear what you know the news behind the news. I love Brother Greg, man. You know he's hilarious. You know you come in right there with him. I feel in my spirit that it's that everybody should have an opportunity to really listen, even if it's just once, man. And
well, that's great. Let me ask you, what would you say, you know, what would you say to other people about VFN Radio? I mean, I know you listen to it all the time, but as far as, I mean, what's kind of the main thing that you get out of it?
Believe it or not, I get more knowledge and wisdom through listening to the BFN Radio. I can't explain it. It's something that I just don't see that anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so when you get to hear the stuff that's happening behind all the political hoopla, because to me that's what it is, you know, it starts to wake you up. Your spirit wakens up even more. These prophetic words coming to light, you know.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing, and that's what I love about what God is doing on the face of the earth and what he's doing through VFN Radio and the opportunities that we get to share. But I'm encouraged that you're listening, that you're getting plugged in, and that you're plugging in others, yeah. You know, because who knows how long we have left. I mean, to use this medium for the glory of God and to connect people to the Lord and get a fresh word. We always say that
You're right. You know, I just said that to some. I said that today to somebody. I said, you know, we got to live for God like He's coming tomorrow.
That's right.
Because if we're unprepared, then we're the ones that are going to be left behind. And there's no excuse. If you're serving Him, then serve Him all the way. Dive in head first, and just continue the journey, because it's an awesome journey. I mean, I look back and reflect on my life and what I've been through. And how He saved me from death at 33, and how He's brought me all the way to where I'm at now. I'm like,
that's a beautiful journey.
You know, there's just no way that I could have been. I could have done this on my own.
Well, one day we're definitely gonna get your testimony for VFL
Radio. Oh, I would love to.
But thanks for coming on in, man. God bless you.
God bless you.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about the interview that Sid Roth is having with the authors of the book, Petros Romanos, and the other book is, we'll have that for you in just a moment, in the context of it, that they're talking about the Malachi prophecies. The Malachi prophecies and what is taking place, and it is amazing. The other book is Exo Vaticano, which talks about, you know, the same as the days of Noah, and it's being proven of things that the Jesuits are actually saying openly, writing documents and emails back and forth. There's this evidentiary, everything's documented of what they're doing, and obviously there's some Catholics that are like totally renouncing all this, which is, you know, obviously God has a remnant of His people everywhere that's saying these guys are crazy. But the thing is, they're the ones writing the rules for the Vatican. They're the ones doing, you know, that type of thing. And we're familiar with being around people who say they walk with you, but they're trying to kill you at the same time. So we're not saying that this is every Catholic, but we're definitely letting you hear the interview themselves of what they discovered, that there are people that have crept in. Even Paul said, be careful. You know, because wolves will come in amongst you, even from your own number. And he said, I warned you day and night, and what we're finding out about it. And so there's nothing new in regards to this, because, I mean, since day one, men, God's put worship inside of us. He's put worship inside of us. And so we're going to worship something or someone. It's just going to happen. And it's not unusual for people to, if you read just even the Old Testament and understand, people would just carve gods. They would just they'd make up a god. Mm-hmm. And this is the god of this, and this is the god of that. And they would worship it. They would lay things down at it. Well, it's no different today. People are making new gods. They're creating new concepts, and they're not gods, but that's who they worship. And liturgy. So when you talk about the God who is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you talk about His exactness, and they jump on you, and they come against you because they're thinking that you should have created a different god than that, because they think as they morphed their god that God morphed with them, and He didn't. Mm. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. They just left God or never knew Him in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so it's not unusual for people just to begin to just create their own concept of God, which that's what they're doing, Dave. You notice there's bumper stickers that has every form of religion on the same sticker, mm-hmm. and the whole thing of Rodney King, why can't we just all get along here? And the thing is, the Antichrist and Christ will never get along.
Right.
They'll never get along. Anti-Jesus. In other words, this is, when you hear Antichrist, so many people have pictured something with horns on his head. But think about this, that anti-you You know, you're not going to hang out with somebody who's anti-you. I mean, they're against you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's not this old freaky thing you're thinking about. It's anti-Jesus, somebody that's against the Son of God. And there's no way to God except through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you deny Jesus, you're anti-Jesus. Whatever God you're worshiping is not the true God.
That's right.
Does that make sense? That's right. And so it's not unusual that people that would make this. So we got that was the first in 10 interview segments that we're going to have of Sid Roth's interview, and it's going to just really, you can find out more about this on the VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on the torch. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.